Let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse number 13 and read through verse 15 of James chapter 4. Here James writes, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Let's ask God's blessing on our time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Now, Lord, we pray as we look into it that you'll give us understanding, and Lord, may you teach us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is commonly taught to consider the brevity of life. Certainly, we have to keep that in mind. Eternity is what it's all about. We don't live for just today. We don't live for just what we can see. We live to do God's will. And that's what I want to look at tonight. You see, people had a will in verse 13. They said, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue their year and buy and sell and get gain. So the people had a will. Their will was to make money and to be successful. And then the caution is you don't know how long your life is going to last. Consider what it's really all about. And verse 15 is the instruction in righteousness, if you will. We ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I just want to speak very plainly on the topic of God's will tonight. As we think about God's will, we often think, especially for teenagers, we think, what is the rest of my life going to hold? What is the direction that I'm going to take? We often think about God's will as being way down in the future, 5 or 10 years, or maybe more. But God teaches us a lot of things about His will. I want to start out with some very basic things. First of all, what is a will? A lot of times when we talk about God, as we transfer it from the natural realm to the spiritual realm, we really don't think about what it means. But just commonly, what is a will? We all have one. A will is just desires or intentions. So what is God's will? God's desires, God's intentions, God's plan for us. Realize that you have a will for yourself, just like these people did here. Our will is our desires and our intentions, and it manifests itself by what we do. Now, of course, our will should be God's will. We should be doing what He desires of us. A lot of people have a desire or a will for you. Parents want to train up morally good and responsible adults. Their will is that their kids always be obedient. Well, that doesn't happen all the time, but it should be. Teachers, they want you to listen and learn. Their will for you is maybe that you would take up their field of study. When I was in physics class, my teacher really wanted me to go to college for something science related. And I liked that stuff, but I told her that wasn't what God had for me. The devil also has a will for us in 2 Timothy 2:26. And then to bring it into the realm we all understand, you've heard the terrible threes. Why are there terrible twos and terrible threes? Because you realize children have a will of their own. And you have to do something drastic to break their will. You see, we all have a will. Many people have a will for us. But God has a will. And that's what's most important. He has a desire and a plan for us. I should say for you and you only to accomplish. Jesus so beautifully said in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus had, well, I say this tongue in cheek, but Jesus didn't desire to go through all the pain and the suffering. He didn't desire his Father to turn his back on his Son. That wasn't Jesus' will. That wasn't his desire or his intentions of what he wanted. But that was what God the Father wanted. And we see a wonderful submission. Jesus made His will God's will. And that's what we need to do as well. So knowing God's will is not a huge secret. If you ask yourself, what is God's will? What the question you really are asking yourself is, what does God want me to do right here and right now? That is what is most important for us. And so let's go to Romans chapter 12. There's a lot we can learn about God's will from just two verses. Romans chapter 12. These are very common verses. I memorized them several years ago. Probably many of you have them memorized as well. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The first thing we want to understand, and it's probably the biggest misconception about God's will for us, is that God's will is not distant events. It's not something in the future. The first point is God's will is now. God's will is today. If we think of God's will as choosing a job, going to college, choosing a mate, choosing a career, where to settle down at, then what happens to God's will when all of those things are accomplished? What do you have left? That's not what God's will is. God has a will for us today. And because it's not based on events in the future, God has a will for all of us. Look at verse 2. Look at the verbs here. Be not conformed. Be ye transformed, that ye may prove. Now all those verbs are in the present tense. Because God's will is today. God's will is now. God's will isn't just in the future. God's will is right here, right now. Secondly, God's will is for everybody to discover. There's no one excluded. There are no exclusions presented in these verses. Not only if you're in a certain age group, not if you're a certain economic status or social status. It's for everybody. I beseech you, therefore, what? Brethren, if we're saved, we need to be discovering God's will, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to come back here, but go to Acts chapter 13. We're going to see some people that did prove God's good and acceptable and perfect will. Acts chapter 13 and verse 36. This is part of one of Paul's sermons, speaking about Jesus Christ in the Psalms that David wrote. In verse 36, he says, for David, after that he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. So we see David served his own generation by the will of God. We see the man that was led of God, someone that sought God's will. And that's probably the biggest characteristic to finding God's will. That is the one motive that you need to have. You need to want God's will. If you will desire it, He will reveal it. If you don't seek it, He won't reveal it to you. But David performed God's will. He penned the scripture that Jesus spoke. Some of the things Jesus spoke on the cross, David wrote that. And he wrote about the Messiah. And he also fulfilled God's will to be a leader for his people of Israel. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1 and chapter 4, verse 4. Speaking of Jesus, it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So why did Jesus give himself for our sins? Why did he endure the cross and despise the shame? Because it was the will of God and our Father. Galatians 1:4 tells us that. So Jesus had a will here to follow. It's kind of weird to think about that. He is God. But yet he had a will he had to submit to, and that was God the Father. And in 1 Corinthians, the first verse, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. God had Paul to be an apostle. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. So God called him to be a missionary as well. You see, they all had the will of God, and they followed it. They sought after it. And we need to do the same. It's not something that God just lays before you and tells you, here's what you are to be in life. God's will, of course, is for today. And it's as God's word is, it's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. You see, it doesn't reveal what's down the road 5 miles. But if you follow it today and stay on the straight and narrow path, he'll lead you to the bigger decisions of life. And so God's will is for today. God's will is for everybody to discover. God has a will for you. We think oftentimes that, and people say this a lot, they'll say, I have a higher calling. And usually those are people that are going to be in full-time ministry, a pastor or a missionary. But if you're following God's will and he calls you to be a plumber or he calls you to be a factory worker, that's just as high of a calling. You see, God's will is the highest calling. Whatever God's will is for you, if you're seeking it and you find it, that is the highest calling for you. Also, back in Romans chapter 12, God's will is singular. God's will is one. And you'll see what I mean here in a minute. You see, God up in heaven knows what he wants us to be. He has his desires and he has his intentions. He has his plan for us. What happens to God's will when we choose not to follow him? Does that mess everything all up? Sometimes it does change the direction of our life greatly. What if God allows me to choose what I want to do to serve him rather than what he really wants? Is there such a thing as a permissive will of God? To be honest, I never heard of that until Bible college, but it sounded like it was a pretty familiar concept, the permissive will of God. And we debated, does God have a permissive will? Well, the Bible right here makes it very clear. God's will is singular. God doesn't have 3 different plans for you and you choose which one you like best. God has one will. It says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice it's singular, the will of God. And good and acceptable and perfect are the characteristics of his will. There aren't 3 wills there. There is no such thing as a permissive will of God. But remember, God's will is for now. God's will is for today. And so if we have sinned, if we're backslidden, if we've messed up God's plan, so to speak, then what is his will right here, right now? If we're in sin, God's will is that we get out of it. We repent. God's will is for us to restore our relationship with him. God's will is for here and for now. God's will is singular. He just has one will, and we need to discover and find just what that is. Something that God's will is not. God's will is never, ever sin. God never wills for us to do something that's contrary to his word. A lot of men today get strange ideas as to what God's will is. To be quite honest with you, there's something called parachurch ministries. There's a slew of them here around Bucyrus. Parachurch ministries, what is that? Para just means outside. So it's a ministry that's outside of the church. God never wills any ministry of his to be done outside or not under the authority of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. You say, well, what's the big deal? You see, a ministry that's out there doing their own thing, not under a local church, they can believe what they want to believe. They can be pressured by other people. But we have missionaries that are sent out by a local church because, number one, God died for the local church. He considers it pretty important. He loved it. Also, the church is important to God because it keeps somebody under the authority of a sound pastor, someone that studies the Word of God. And so if there's a ministry that's not under the authority of a local church, that's not God's will. Now, maybe it's a good ministry. God wants good ministries to take place, but He wants them done inside the church. And so that's why we support the pregnancy center. They're under the authority of a local church. The one here in town is not. That's not God's design. That's not His will. Here's another one. This is maybe back a couple hundred years. Men actually believed. These are smart men. A couple hundred years ago, they believed we should not send missionaries out. Now, one man named William Carey defied that logic. You say, "What? That's kind of crazy. Don't send missionaries." Well, they believed in the teachings of John Calvin. And if you know the tulip theory, the acrostic for the basic tenets of Calvinism, you have unconditional election. And what Calvin teaches is if God has elected you to be saved, there's nothing you can do to escape it. You're almost forced into being saved. And that's not scriptural. That's sin. You see, the truth is the devil deceives people as to what God's will is. And so pastors wouldn't even share the gospel in their sermons because of this teaching. That's pretty crazy. Why do things like this happen? I'll turn to a verse and I'll read it for you. 2 Corinthians 11:15 says, I'll back up to verse 14. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers," those are demons, "also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." They based what they believed on Bible verses, but they took it out of context. You see, God's will is never sin. And what I want to get at most of all is how can you know what God's will is and what it isn't? Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself a question. When you are in those times of decision, where there's a fork in the road, you've got to pick something, make a choice. Ask yourself this. God's will is one. It's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. God wants you close to Him. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So the question is, if you're having to make a choice and it's very difficult, ask yourself with each decision, will it draw me closer to Christ or will it take me further away? A lot of people decide when it's double overtime on Sunday that they'll stay home from church so they can provide for their families. Well, that's not exactly scriptural. The Bible says if you need to meet the needs of your family or you're worse than an infidel. But a lot of people give up church for the dollar, and that's not good. You see, it draws people away from Christ. That's not God's will. Also, ask yourself this. Does it contradict His Word? Now, here's what I was getting at with Calvinism and the unconditional election. Well, what about the Great Commission? How did they miss those verses? "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." William Carey believed God's word. Yes, God does have an elect, but that doesn't mean that we aren't to go and seek them out and teach them and present the gospel that they may be saved. Jesus did it himself. You wonder what Bible people are reading. So God's will, does it draw me closer to Christ or take me away? Secondly, does it contradict His word? Thirdly, go to Colossians chapter 1. Read verses 9 and 10 of Colossians chapter 1. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And he goes on, but he says his prayers that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, what did he do? What was Paul doing to help them realize the will of God? He says, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. So how can we know God's will? We seek it through prayer. And that's what Lauren and I have done greatly here in the decision we've had to make. We've prayed and prayed and prayed, not asking if it's our will, but asking if it's his will, because his will is what's important. And he showed us. Think about this. It's hard for the devil to mess you up when you're drawing near to God. When you draw near to God, you're going to hear his voice better. What his will is for you is going to be clearer. And so that's what we do. Does it draw me close to Christ? It doesn't contradict his word. And I've sought God through prayer. Then I can be confident that I'm making a good decision that's in his will. Now, to be perfectly honest, when we look at God's will, here and now for today, you know what stops us the most? It isn't the devil. We believe in sending missionaries. We believe our Bible. We read it. And we get taught doctrine at church. You know what the biggest problem and hindrance is for us to finding God's will? It's this guy right here. It's me. It's my flesh. It's my will that doesn't want to submit to God's will. You know what it's like. You get up in the morning, you're tired, you say, I'll sleep in, I'll give myself just enough time to get to work on time. And we don't read the Bible. I've been guilty of it before. There are times when you just don't feel like praying. There's times when you don't feel like reading the Bible. Is it your will, or are you going to submit to God's will? It's kind of hard sometimes to witness to strangers. It's kind of hard to knock on a door when you don't know who's behind that door or anything about them. It's kind of difficult. The flesh says, don't do it. What are you doing out here? But we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to be out telling. We need to fulfill the Great Commission here in Bucyrus. The flesh doesn't want to get up for Sunday school. We all want to sleep in sometimes. And the flesh just wants to go with the flow. It's easier. God's will is for you to stand up for Christ, to be a model of godliness in this wicked world. But you know our flesh doesn't want to do that sometimes. And so there is the conflict that's inside of us. And that's a tough struggle that we'll have till the day we die. But will we submit our will to his will, like Jesus did in the garden? See, God's will is never sin. And fifthly and lastly, God's will is unique. There's some we call God's general will, and then there's God's specific will. God's general will is what we find in his word. It's for everybody. To pray without ceasing. Have we fulfilled God's will in praying without ceasing? God's will is that we rejoice evermore. Have we rejoiced today? It's God's will. God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Pat Powell, last year when it was snowing, we had a bunch of slush and everything. I believe it's when we had the ice, too. It all froze. I was over at her house, and I was clearing out her driveway a little bit for her, and she paid me. And she said, I'm thankful for the snow and ice. I just don't know why yet. I thought, that's actually very profound, because God says to be thankful in everything. We don't know why God does some of the things he does that are in his will, but we stay thankful anyways because it's God's will. God says to love your enemies. That's his will. Work hard for Christ as unto him. We need to study to show ourselves approved. Have we studied God's word? That's his will. That's God's general will. If we work on that and those things, I believe God reveals his specific will. Back in Romans chapter 12, once again, I told you there's a lot here about God's will. Look at verse 4, speaking about the church here as a body. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth, on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So what is Paul getting at here? God has a will for each one of us, but God's will is unique for each one of us. God deals out, His Spirit deals out spiritual gifts to each of us, and they're different. God's purpose for you is not the same as His purpose for me. There are people that He has for you to reach that I couldn't reach, and there are people that I can reach that you can't reach. We all have to be doing our part in God's will. And then verses 9 and going through the rest of the chapter, and even into chapter 13, we have God's general will. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned. And on he goes. That's God's general will. But God has a unique will for each one of us, a unique area to serve him. The last passage we'll turn to is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 5. I'll go back up to, we should start in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. But Paul's speaking here on giving. The Macedonian believers, it says they were in deep poverty, but they gave to give Paul a gift, to meet the needs that Paul had. God's will for the Macedonians, first of all, they submitted to God's will. That's important. And then God revealed what His will was. His will was for them to give. Now, what was God's will for Paul? That he be a missionary. And he went about faithfully doing that. Paul encountered a need, and God's will for Paul was to meet Paul's needs. And so the Macedonians, their job was to supply the need. See, God had a different will for Paul than for the Macedonians, but He works it all together. Just the same as He does in our church. He gives us spiritual gifts. We put them all together for His service. And this church will be a beacon in the Bucyrus area and shine around city, our state, our country, and our world. But we all have to submit ourselves, and then we find out what His will is. I realize my time is about up, but what's God's will, practically speaking? Children, teenagers, what is God's will for you? You should be obedient to your parents. You find that in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 6. What if you're school age? What is God's will for you? Exercise your mind. Be diligent in your schoolwork. Do your homework to the best of your abilities so that you can be smart. God wants smart people in His service. So get smart so that you can be used of Him. Teenagers, set good habits. Have good manners. Daily Bible reading and prayer. Faithful church attendance. Teenagers, ask and allow God to lead you to the right career, college, mate, job, car, all those big decisions. Choose good godly friends and start serving Christ. It's something you want to do the rest of your life, and then you'll do it when you get to heaven as well. Parents, what's God's will for you? Train your children to love the Lord. Set an unselfish example, an example of love that they might follow. Show them by example what proper priorities are and share the gospel with them. Grandparents, what's God's will for you? For your grandkids, read God's word to them. Tell them about Daniel and David and Goliath and all these men in the Bible. Take them to church when you're able to and witness. Fight for their souls that they might be saved. Retirees, pray, pray, pray. You have a lot of time. Don't just spend that time doing your will. Spend that time, now that you have so much more of it, for God's will. Give behind your church full force. Use your time to be busy for Him. And for all of us, we need to use our spiritual gifts. God gave it to you for a purpose. He has a plan for you to use it. We need to be about using it. We can all make a difference in people's lives for Christ. So the first question is, for each one of us, are we searching for His will? Have we ever prayed, "Thy will be done"? Every day, wake up, put Christ first. Put His will first. Seek His will. Pray for His will. Pray for help to follow God's will. The truth is, God will lead us if we'll follow. Let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the clear teaching on what Your will is and what it isn't. Lord, I pray that You'll place a desire in our heart to follow Your will, Lord, even greater than it was yesterday, Lord, that we may do the plan that You have for us, Your good and Your acceptable and Your perfect will. Lord, we thank You for what You'll do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.